Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
December is the month when the ghosts of Christmas past haunt Downtown Crossing and Washington Street in Boston. Jordan's and Filene's department stores are gone, and with them went the Christmas tree lighting and the Enchanted Village, which has moved out to a furniture store in Avon. But this year has also brought the rebirth of two historic theaters in Boston, the Paramount and the Modern, which now join the restored Opera House. City and business leaders call these three sisters the jewels that will make Washington Street and Downtown Crossing shine once again. This morning, WBUR's Andrea Shea and David Boeri take a look back at the kind of excitement the city would like to revive.
So we're at the start of Washington Street, Andrea. I want you to tell me, what do you see?
Well, down the way, I see the Paramount Marquee.
Yeah, well, forget about the marquees for now. You're going to take us down to the marquees in a little while. But what do you see here at the corner of Water Street and Washington Street?
I see a Starbucks. I see a Toys R Us. I see the Vitamin Shop.
The Starbucks was the Boston Globe. The Toys R Us was Boston Post. The Vitamin Shop was the Boston Journal. This is ground zero of Newspaper Row. There were 17 papers here at one time. So, Andrea, I want you to click your heels three times, close your eyes, and we're going back to the 1950s.
It was the center of the city. The center.
Talk to Ron Wysocki, and I'll take you back to 1954, to 244 Washington Street, home of the Boston Globe. He was a quick study of a copy boy on a fast track to the front pages.
City Hall was around the corner. State House was up the street. Federal Building, Federal Courthouse was right there. You could stand in the front door of the Globe for an hour and see everybody in the city you wanted to see.
Even after the ranks of papers had dwindled, the 50s were still a frenzy. The competition as keen as it was cramped. On the row, the Globe was literally going head-to-head with the Boston Post, which was the biggest paper in New England.
This is the Post.
Across the street from the Globe, the printing presses for the Post burrowed seven stories below ground, next to the subway tunnel. They both made the street shake. The presses on the row pulsed with morning papers and evening papers, and each had as many as nine different editions. "They're up," came the call as another run came off the presses to update the last one.
And there'd be thousands of people there, watching the headlines going up.
Ron Wysocki recalls Barney Gelb climbing the ladder out front of the Globe building to hang the headlines in big purple letters. Headlines hung from every daily. Back when newspapers were big, and for Ron Wysocki, they were as exciting as the movies.
Hello, Duffy, get set. We got the biggest story in years. Earl Williams captured by the Morning Post exclusive. Yeah, and I want you to tear out the whole front page. That's what I said, the whole front page out.
And you obviously recognize Cary Grant. That's from the screwball comedy, His Girl Friday.
Love him.
And it came out in 1940, and you would have been able to see that movie just behind you, close to that neon marquee.
Yeah, probably Ginger Rogers, too. I mean, all the films are coming through here. All the live bands came through here, vaudeville. And wow, one of the thousands of people who would flock here to be entertained was Fred Taylor, who would become a concert promoter. But when he was just a kid in high school in Newton, he learned his chops here.
My favorite haunt was the RKO Theater, which was on the corner of Essex and Washington. The RKO was what they called the B Circuit. That was a stage show and a movie. The big bands all played that market, and that's where I learned my music, watching Jimmy Dorsey and Lionel Hampton. And that was almost a religion with me every Saturday through my high school years.
In the 1940s, Fred Taylor and his buddies would spruce up, pile in the car, and drive down here from Newton. They'd spend all day and night in the theaters and on the streets.
You start revving up around Wednesday, Thursday, with, I can't wait till Saturday.
On Saturday, Taylor says the whole neighborhood was jumping. Plays, movies, vaudeville. Audiences flocked to venues, including what are known today as the Opera House, the Paramount, and the Modern, all on Washington Street.
The other thing about the movie strip along Washington Street was the other side of the street were great retail stores. Both sides of the street were vibrant and busy, and it hasn't quite gotten back to that point yet.
And then there were the people, how they looked, what they wore.
Oh, let's talk about dress codes, huh? I mean, practically everybody had a jacket and a hat and a tie. Women were always fashionable, and that's not quite the scene today.
So, you know, as Fred said, you really did have everything here. Everybody came down here. There was movies, music. It was a stop on the comedy circuit. There were radio stations. He couldn't stop talking about all the radio stations, restaurants, bars. You know, he couldn't stop just talking about the zing.
This place was happening day and night.
That's what he said.
And even kids came here to go to the movies alone. I did. The place just pulled in the average Bostonian. And, you know, in some ways, the newspaper business did the same thing.
Those guys, very few of them were college graduates. They were dropout guys. But they all loved a story. They just loved a story.
Jim Southwood of the Old Herald Traveler says his former fellow reporters were a social cross-section of the city, just like the shoppers. Many of them didn't have cars or licenses.
So when you got a big assignment out of town, what'd you do?
Schleppy, the cab driver on Newspaper Row, the go-to guy for Ron Wysocki and the Globe reporters.
Schleppy would say where. You'd say Cape Cod. Schleppy would go in, call his wife, say, look, you know, we have a chance to go to the Cape. You ready?
Like cabbies, reporters were of the people. They knew the city like the back of their hands. And they knew the Schleppies of Boston.
The news reporter, the photographer, Schleppy's wife, Schleppy's kids, and Schleppy went to the Cape.
It was a time when reporters called in the facts and rewrite men wrote the stories back in the office. The pace, like the street, was lickety-split and electrically fun. Jim Southwood remembers old-timers like Jimmy McGlincy.
He was the best and fastest news writer I ever saw, drunk or sober.
Newspaper Row lived in a liquid age.
And he used to come into the Herald with gin and tonics in an empty olive glass.
There were so many bars on Washington Street, you could go in your shirt sleeves in wintertime. Newspaper Row never slept, recalls John McGinn.
There's one particular bar you went at 6 o'clock in the morning, it looked like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Boom times for newspapers, boom times for the street. Then came the bust. In the bowels of the Post, the presses went cold suddenly in 1956. And across the street in 1958, the headlines hanging out front said, Globe says goodbye to Newspaper Row. The Row was dead. And soon, the city's 6 remaining dailies became 2.
Jack Plunkett, a reporter, came into the city room of the Herald Traveler and said, this place looks like a card game on the Titanic. And everybody knew it was all over.
So Newspaper Row closed, and down here at Downtown Crossing, the department stores either were consolidated, they closed, or they moved out to the malls altogether. So tell me, Andrea, what happened to the theaters?
Well, TV happened for one, and people fled to the suburbs. So all of these things that kind of fed off each other became obsolete. A lot of the theaters went dark, and it just changed the nature of Washington Street.
The only thing that kept on wailing was the combat zone between Essex and Neyland Street.
Fred Taylor remembers the demise of the Washington Street Theater District. One of the casualties was the Modern Theater. In the 60s, it ran adult films, like a lot of the old movie houses here. But back in its day, the Modern was the first movie house in Boston to show a talkie, the jazz singer, in 1927.
Come in, come in. I hope I didn't make you wait. Baby, I'm coming. Oh, God, I hope I'm not late.
The final curtain came down for the modern in the 80s, and it fell to ruin. But it reopened last month, and there's hope for revival all along Washington Street. Just ask Marilyn Plotkins, head of the theater department at Suffolk University. The school purchased the modern with the help of the city, and she's been orchestrating its rehabilitation.
What we were looking at was a theater that was a total wreck in 2008. The facade was ravaged, the walls were held up with cable. But there was enough there that we knew that there was some history worth preserving.
And they've preserved the small jewel box theater beautifully. Standing outside on Washington Street, Marilyn Plotkins and I take in its restored 1914 facade. There it is, lined up in a row with the Opera House and the Paramount Theater. All have been brought back to life over the past few years, and all are back in business. The Paramount's brilliant marquee lights up Washington Street, just like it used to do.
You know, it's extraordinary to see a neighborhood come back in a way that doesn't compromise the historic architecture. There's so much history on this street. You know, it was built to be a destination, and then because everybody who's lived here for a long time knew how bad it had sunk. So to restore something, to be a kind of cultural phoenix, is pretty great. I think a lot of people, hard-bitten, cynical people who've lived in Boston for many years, I would imagine that many people never thought this could happen, and it did.
I wouldn't call Fred Taylor hard-bitten or cynical, but he's not quite as optimistic about Washington Street's rebirth.
I don't think you'll ever quite reclaim the ambiance. It'll be replaced by something else, but not ever to return to those kind of glory days. Sad to say.
So, David, you heard what Fred said, but we're standing here on Washington Street. We're looking at the Modern, we're looking at the Opera House, we're looking at the Paramount, and they look great.
Absolutely grand.
But there's still that symbolic hole in the ground over there.
Yeah, and revitalizing this area ultimately requires bringing back all the buzz of the eateries, the bars, especially the shopping, the character, everything that once made this the center of the city.
For WVUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
And I'm David Bowery.
For pictures of Washington Street, past and present, visit our website, wbur.org.